I tried to get creative and include some video in this Sigma Chi interview. It didn't work out the best, so I apologize for the glitches. You'll still enjoy this episode. Thank you.
In this episode of the Trophy Dash podcast, I'm interviewing the 1994 Sigma Chi fraternity, champions of the 1994 Little 500. I get Vaughn riders Randy Spruill, Dave Perez, Sean Humphreys, Tyler Sparks, and Coach Jim McGough. We talk about their experience of how they built the team to a competitive and championship team and what the event meant to them. It's a wonderful interview. It gave me goosebumps. It was great catching up with those guys and getting to know those guys a little bit better. Thank you. Enjoy the episode. Sigma Chi 1994 champions with us today on the Trophy Dash podcast. This is a tough one for me. This is my last year riding. And for whatever reason, I rode for the Cutters. Our team was not very social. You guys could probably vouch to that. So I really didn't get to know you guys in college. We never rode together as far as I know. And I kind of regret that. I wish we had a different approach to Little Five and the community back then. So maybe some of what I'm doing now is trying to kind of reconnect with people I never got a chance to kind of get to know during those years. But you guys were champions in 94. You sort of came out of nowhere. And I would love to kind of get to know you guys a little bit, hear how that progression occurred, and kind of hear your side of the story from that year. If you guys are up for that.
Absolutely. Yes,
absolutely. Well, Coach McGough's trying to get on here, it looks like, but we'll go ahead and go. Let me get some introductions. Hey, Coach.
I am on by phone. I am.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, we'll get
good to hear.
Yeah. Sort of good to hear to you, too. Let's do introductions. Let's hear, give me your guys' names, where you grew up, what year in college were you in 94, how many little fives had you had before that? Kind of tell me a little bit about your background there. Let's start with you, Tyler, here at the top left.
Hey, Tyler Sparks. Let's see, I'm from Bloomington, Indiana. So believe it or not, I was the five-year-old kid in the back of the dad's car that was racing the little five guy and breaking away.
Really?
I don't know if you remember that, going down the highway and they're trying to like pass, and I'm just joking. But I grew up in Bloomington. I'm around little five all my life. My dad got me on bikes when I was 3 years old, it seemed like. I was in a little yellow seat. So always went to little five races. I was a sophomore in college when we won in 94.
Okay.
And just a wonderful event. I've always enjoyed it. I've always gone back and always loved being a part of it.
How does a Bloomington kid join a fraternity? And how'd you choose Sigma Chi?
Good question. Dimitri Hubbard won it when I was in high school, and it was really inspiring, I guess, the first time I thought in my mind, like, yeah, I like sports and I like cycling, and this guy did it. Why might not I? In fact, Dave Perez, a team member, he and I were swimmers together in high school, both went to Bloomington High School North. He was a far better swimmer than I was. But when I was a freshman, he and Dan Matthews and a couple of the guys from the house that were from Bloomington said, hey, you should really come and ride for us, I think. So it was just kind of serendipitous. Dave Perez, he's the reason I probably got into Little Five. He was the encouraging force.
Well, let's go down to Dave. Tell us about, you grew up in Bloomington also.
Actually, I grew up in Spain. So I was born in Spain, moved to Bloomington in 81, was around swimming a lot. That was basically my predominant sport. I was swimming. Started swimming when I was 12 and swim a little bit all the way up to college. When I first started at IU, I walked onto the team and lost the passion. I started late into the school year. I started in the spring semester because of a bad knee surgery that happened that summer. But then I just lost my passion. And my brother was doing Ironmans. The reason I got into cycling, my brother was doing Ironmans. And he was like, hey, you need to start cycling, you know? And I was always inspired by him going out for a 100-mile ride and then coming back and running a freaking half a marathon. I was like, what the hell? That's pretty, you know, pretty amazing. And I was like, you know, I always had a competitive edge in me. So that got me, my first little, well, my first ride ever was one of the legs of the Hilly 100. And my brother pushed me half of the way home. There was too many hills in that thing. And after that, I was like cursing at him left, right, and center. But anyways, that's why I really started cycling right back, right then. More so than anything else, just to keep myself in shape and have something to do. And then obviously when I joined Sigma Chi, there was a team, and that was the driving force, right? To be competitive again and to not participate, but try to win the darn race. That was a big difference, I think, from this team, from previous teams. They all wanted to win, right? But most of us, if not all of us, wanted to absolutely win this race. Yeah. And not only, you know, previous years, a few years, I think in the early 90s when Randy started taking the helm, that's where really it took off. But anyways, back to me. I was a junior when we won in 1994. That was my second race. I think the first year, Sean was looking at those numbers. I think we finished 11th or 12th or something like that with a few through our belts. That was fun. And that was it. I think I answered all the questions. I mean, I can ramble on for a little bit more, but.
When did you first hear about Little 500? And when did you first start thinking you might?
So I was surrounded by Little 500 just because I grew up in Bloomington. I went to many of those races, right? And I obviously supported you guys, the Cutters. A lot of the swimmers transitioned into being cyclists back in the day. And I knew Dimitri as well because he swam for Bloomington North with me and Tyler. Right. So that was a big driving factor as well. Pretty exciting event. So I've probably seen, heck, before I even went to college, I've probably been to those, you know, 10 times or so. But
all right, so we're getting a theme here of two Bloomington swimmers and somehow they get pulled into Sigma Chi. I want to hear who's responsible for that. Sean, let's hear from you.
Yeah, Sean Humphreys. I grew up sort of like in the Indianapolis area, moved here in eighth grade, and I was on a rowing team over in Eagle Creek area, if people are familiar with that, and saw bikes kind of going around that circuit every day. And I was like, hey, that looks fun. So I bought a bike and started like riding with those guys, quit the rowing team, and raced, I think, freshman year through senior year in high school. And I had my best friend was a guy named Brad Ferris, and his dad was an orthopedic surgeon. And there's a rider, Steve Herbst, who was a year older than Randy, kind of said, hey, you guys should come check out this racing scene down in Bloomington. If you're thinking about going to school here, come down and watch the race, hang out at the fraternity. And that was kind of like my first, I didn't actually know too much about it until my senior year. And it was fun to see that race. And I think Sigma Chi, at that point in time, and Randy can probably speak more to it, like had been like gathering some steam and a lot of tradition from that point. And so, I think I raced a couple of times with Randy my senior year in high school, and you know, we talked here and there. And I think Randy kind of reached out to me and said, like, once I was a senior or a freshman at IU, come check us out. And I continued to like ride bikes. I think my freshman year and ended up joining the Sigma Chi fraternity and rode all 4 years. Exciting freshman year. I think we can talk about the strategy there, but when we were learning how to exchange, I threw a bike into Randy's calf, and that's the reason why he like didn't race that freshman year, and the rest is history from there.
Okay. Randy, let's hear.
Yeah, I'm Randy Spruill. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, went to North Central, had quite a few. That was kind of my Sigma Chi connection. There were some you know, quite a few folks that went from North Central to IU, obviously, and there were a few guys that I knew. I actually went down to watch the race my senior year and sat in the Sigma Chi pit, and I ran track and cross country. You know, it was kind of my thing before getting into cycling, and I don't know, just watching the race, I was like, man, I can do this, and I could probably do it well. That was kind of like my thought when I watched it for the first time. It was just one of those things that you see it.
What year was that?
That would have been, I guess, the 88, I guess the 89 race.
89. So Cinzano won, huge crowd, 30 plus thousand.
That was
people.
Awesome. Yeah. I was just like, you know, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I got to do it. So that was kind of, you know, and I think Sigma Chi was kind of the, you know, got right into it, and had never raced a bike. I went out and bought a bike, I think, after watching Little Five, and that was when I started riding. But that was definitely one of those moments that I'll never forget. It was pretty cool.
Jim McGough, coach, how did you get involved with these guys, and what was your Little Five experience?
Lucky my involvement with them, because it's a special group, special team for sure. I grew up in Indianapolis, went to IU in, I think, started there in 83. So I rode alternate on our team in 83, rode in 84, and probably made the biggest mistake of my life. I switched over to steering committee for future job prospects and did not ride, but worked the race on steering committee 85 and 86, and worked in Indianapolis for a couple of years. Decided to go back to Bloomington for law school, and Joe Cooper was the then captain, and this would have been 89, I guess, and offered to help. And from my experience, you know, the Cutter team, the Fiji team, Fidel at the time, all had continuity from year to year, and that's something the Sigma Chi team never had. You'd have continuity for 2 or 3 years, and then it'd go out the door with the senior class, and they'd be starting from scratch. So I thought I could add some continuity. There were things that we did really well, and there were things that we did not so well. And tried to qualifying was always our thing, but finishing the race was not. So thought I could bring that during my years in law school, and that's where Randy and I first met his freshman year. And then I was in Indianapolis in the early 90s. So Randy was really the person that put the team together and made sure the training was happening. And I was more of consulting from afar and just trying to keep track of things from past years that we didn't lose to help out where I could.
Okay. So Dave, you mentioned earlier that you guys came together and wanted to try to win the race, right? Not just participate in the race. Coach Jim just alluded to a little bit. So what was the history of Sigma Chi prior to you guys coming together? Like, what was the expectation from the house? How did you guys do?
I think Randy might be better qualified to answer this because he was more involved with it, but from my perspective, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jim, we had one of those, you know, typical fraternity teams that, you know, kind of ebbed and flowed based on, you know, the talent. I think Jim's era was probably the most consistent, where, you know, they had some, you know, pretty solid, you know, consistent years. But I think it's kind of, I don't know. We all tried to stay with the program and totally have a huge appreciation for what you guys have done with the Cutters and just kept that consistent, you know, year after year. We know how hard it is to do. I think that's, you know, I think most fraternities kind of follow the same cycle. And I think that's, you know, Sigma Chi is a perfect example of that kind of cyclical model, unfortunately.
Hey Randy, you guys had a lot of success, didn't you? Like, what was it? Is that 92 when Eric Altair had the creeping penalty? Like, you guys were like right in it, right?
Yeah, no, I think we were. I think from my first year, my freshman year, that was the 90 race. I think we finished fourth. And you know, I think we had I think we were top 10 in that area for the whole time I was there. So I think it was a good, it was definitely one of the up cycles for the program. I think just kind of, and I don't know, you'd ask the question, Jim, you know, what did we do differently? Or that was one of your questions. Yeah. I think that was probably the most important thing I think we did was get to know a lot of our competition and try to be, you know, like, I think the Cinzano team was probably the best. We spent a ton of time with those guys, Ben Sharp. He and I were friends, and we'd get together and ride a lot. And I think just getting to know the competition and becoming friends with those, you know, the folks we knew were going to be competitive in every one of those races. Mm-hmm. That was a big benefit from my perspective. And that was something that I think a lot of fraternity teams and definitely Sigma Chi, we'd do our rides, you know, prior and never, ever talk to anybody. It was kind of like, it certainly wasn't secret sauce, but, you know, I think we were just kind of in our cocoon and go do the causeway hill 15 times and come back and eat and go to bed.
Maybe that was a culture back then. That's certainly what my team did.
Yep.
But I know there were other teams that didn't do that. They trained together and taught each other.
I remember like riding with like Fiji, Delta Chi, Shinjano. Like we rode with those guys all the time. And I felt like that really pays off when you're in the race and you're like, if you're top five or top 10, and you need a wheel and you know somebody, like it makes all the difference in the world. Yeah.
I mean, that happened during the 94 race. Bill Noss just got in front of me and said, Dave, what do you need? I said, get in front of me. Don't let anybody go. I'll suck your wheel. That was it. Yeah. Our job, meaning Tyler, myself, and Sean, was to get the bike to Randy at the end. That was it. That was that's what Randy said the year before. He wanted to finish. He wanted a chance to win the race. And our job was to get him the bike at the end to win the race. So that was our focus. So, and we benefited a lot from other teams. Not just Bill, but Fiji's and other teams that weren't on their the lead lap. So
let me, before we get to that race day, a special day, how'd you guys train? Who came up with the training? How'd the training change, Randy, from your freshman year to your senior year? Like, who developed the training plan? Because, you know, there's a million different ways to do it and everyone's got an idea. Who helped you guys with that?
I guess I was the man behind the plan, and it wasn't, you know, terribly unique. I think my simple strategy was to ride as long and as hard as possible. That was kind of but I think the one thing that we did change compared to my years past, I really, you know, pushed the team to race, like to do the IUCC stuff. I did a bunch of velodrome racing, and that I definitely think that was a big benefit from a little 500, you know, prep perspective. But you know, that was one thing that we didn't do as a team, you know, my early years, was to, you know, really get out and get into a pack and experience that. You know, it's a whole different ball game when it comes to preparing for a little 500 and just getting comfortable with, you know, people at your elbows, and you can't replicate that unless you're doing it. So that was definitely, I think we all did IUCC and, that was a focus of our program, I think, for the last couple of years. I think that was a big, benefit for us as a team.
I was going to add one thing, like, so my freshman year, Randy lived in the house. And so like, I tell people my only time that I've ever spent 3 hours on an indoor ride is with Randy. We watched two movies down in the basement on rollers. Like that's the kind of, and then like we all had our schedule done by 2 o'clock so that we could go out and ride. Like there's so many days I remember with it snowing and us out there just riding. And then the next year, or the year we won, Randy lived out of the house. And I just remember him coming back. I'm like, I thought you guys were riding more. This is ridiculous. But we, like, you could always tell, like, on spring break, who's been doing work, for sure. But, like, I agree with Randy, like, having all that IUCC experience was awesome, and also getting to know the people because they would be in the race as well, going back to like what we talked about before.
Did you guys travel for spring break or winter break, take any team training trips?
Absolutely. We my grandparents lived in outside of Tampa, and they were the happy hosts for every single spring break we had as a team. You know, it was the highlight of their year. They would stock up the fridge and, you know, buy like a bushel of bananas, and like we're amazed at the amount of food that we would rip through. But yeah, they loved the team and being part of that. They were part of the program. The last couple of years they got the team jackets, and my grandma was head chef and my grandfather was head assistant chef or something like that. But that was one of my favorite parts of Little Five. Mm-hmm. The spring break outings in Florida.
Yeah, and little fact to that, because we take our Little Five bikes, our normal bikes, Dave's brother would bring down a scooter basically to motor pace,
right.
And we would do two a day, so in the morning road bikes, and then road masters in the evening, motor pacing around some neighborhood. It was insane.
where'd you get this idea? Like, where'd you guys learn to do this? This is like a high level training concept from a team that wasn't there before. Who helped you with that?
I think the motor pacing thing came from the Velodrome. I think that was a big thing. They used to do early morning workouts during the week. Bilko would be riding the yep. motor, and that was, you know, that was my, no question about it, that was the most valuable training that I did that correlated to, you know, getting comfortable with your spin on the Little Five track. So that was definitely, I think that was my idea to get Tito to bring the scooter that year. And you know, it was hard.
Yeah.
But it was
we also used to play a lot of games in the rides down in Florida where we'd get behind the dump truck or behind the car playing car tag, you know, doing a lot of drafting and motorboating in those spaces as well. Surprised none of us ever got tackled by a car or a policeman or something. But always tried to have a lot of fun in our rides. I mean, I think we really liked each other. You know, it was a team. We believed in each other, I think. And, you know, there is, that says a lot. It goes a long way, you know, to be behind a dump truck going 48 miles an hour next to your friends, just hoping that, you know, you don't run across some railroad tracks or something all of a sudden. But just trusting each other, I think that was a huge part of it, for me anyway.
Well, you spend that much time together, though, there's bound to be some friction, right?
Yeah.
Difference of opinions. Yeah. Tyler, growing up in Bloomington, like, what was it like to start riding your bike in these huge distances, doing Nashville 90s and like riding in places you would used to drive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I grew up in Monroe County, and my dad helped start the Hilly 100. So, you know, I was in the yellow seat in the back of his bike when I was 2 years old. So the county roads and all that stuff, there was nothing really new about that to me. He started getting me out on 20, 30 mile rides when I was 8, 10 years old, and started doing the Hilly when I was that young. And so really it was just, you know, doing it in terms of more of a sport versus, you know, for enjoyment. I think that was the big shift. And these guys were, you know, I'm a pretty athletic guy, but these guys had trained, and I probably majored more in girls and parties during college. And so I was always the one lagging behind that they had to wait on, you know, because I mean, I took it seriously. I loved doing it, but I also, you know, my priority was probably the fun of college, mm-hmm. in many respects. And so I'd know where the roads went, and I could catch up after a while usually. Yeah, the transition really was more around just being in more of a competitive frame and learning how to use my arms and my hands and how to balance differently. And Randy and the team were just really awesome at giving me all the technique that I needed, which, you know, ultimately paid off to some extent. I probably only wrecked once a year in the race versus 6 or 8 times. So that was good.
Okay. So before we start recording, Randy talked about your going through YouTube and watching some video. Like, there's a bunch of stuff online now.
Oh, man.
when we rode, we might have had like, you know, this is actually a 94 race on
VHS. It looks familiar.
VHS tape. We might have had two or three VHS tapes.
Oh yeah.
They're on autoplay. You know? So we had to think about it more. We couldn't just watch out constantly.
Yeah.
Like, you guys gather and like talk about the race, think about the race, like, contemplate these things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, we definitely, you know, we had strategy planning meetings and, you know, I don't know. That was one of the things that I, after we raced, you know, that, like you said, I'm the, they started, IUSF started making those tapes available. And I was like, you guys have no idea how valuable it is to be able to watch what happened, you know,
right,
previously, and, you know, really totally encourage the teams to study that stuff. We didn't really, I mean, it wasn't a thing, I guess, when we were riding to be able to do that. And now, geez, every race, like going back into the 80s, is out there, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think it was kind of, I mean, it was in here and just kind of getting together and having real old-fashioned meetings to talk strategy. I guess that's kind of what we did.
So going into
my freshman year, real quickly, just we had that, you know, and probably every bike team has like the dinner the night before. You go out and you load up on carbs, you eat all your pastas mm-hmm. and stuff. And our freshman year, Randy was going to sit out, you know, and so it was really four rookies, I think. I mean, I think we were all rookies. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe one person who had more years. But for whatever reason, I was going to sprint at the end of our freshman year if we were on the lead lap. And Jim, I think, gave me this big pep talk and some of the other guys. And I'm like, I'm a freshman and there's all these great racers. And they're like, just be on their wheel, you know, and right around the third corner, you're going to, you know, and they gave me the strategy for how I was going to win the race my freshman year. And I was thinking, well, this is hilarious. And I remember Sean and I, after the pep talks, just like laughing our butts off at the strategy that we were going to go ahead and win. I mean, I think we all would have loved that. But, you know, I think for me, even freshman year, I was like, no, it's really about sophomore year. It's when Randy's going to race with us. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big part of the strategy. Is, you know, having those fun meetings ahead of time where you really strategize, but, you know, it all goes out the window, you know, the day of, the natural circumstances of things. Yeah. Everything's so dynamic in the race. You have to really adjust, you know, and who's flexible enough to be in a position to adjust their strategy to win it there.
Well, what happened in 93, your freshman year, Tyler? How'd you guys end up 11th?
I think I wrecked at some point and got us a lap down.
Okay.
Or maybe it was me. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know I wrecked. I don't know if it was me or if
we got a lap down. I actually watched it yesterday. We qualified 22nd. So like we did like do fairly well. I think we were on the lead lap. I actually had like 120 laps that race, but
you had a lot of laps.
Yeah. And anyways, yeah, you like, I think like with two laps to go, Tyler, You like got on the bike, you were all ramped up, and then like it went right next to like I think your pedal got tied up next to Bill Noss or something. But I mean, like the other thing is like Tyler was always amazing how fast he could get up from a wreck. That's what I noticed yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna talk about that because that's a big
okay.
So going into 94, like you guys mentioned a minute ago that the goal was to get Randy on the bike at the end. Like, tell me how that developed and why that became your strategy for that day.
Hey, Randy, before you start that, I don't know if you've already talked about it, but you might want to talk about you sitting out a year, making sure that, you know, the rookies got their legs underneath them before you wanted to, you know, take it on to win the race. Your redshirt year or your whatever we called it.
Yeah. So Jim, I don't know if you were aware I rode in 90 through 92. And I guess it was kind of like that year, 93, Sean and Tyler were freshmen. Dave was a sophomore, right? And it's kind of like, and I knew I was going to be around for a fifth year, just kind of, right. You know, that was, and I think one of our brothers like, dude, you should sit out this year, let these guys get better. Right. And I was like, wow, that's actually a pretty damn good idea. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I rode and trained with the team and, you know, really solid year training. And like, that was our strategy. Let's make this a rebuilding year and come back in 94. I think that was the other big thing. I knew that was Ben Sharp's kind of, big year, and the competition was going to be different in 94 as it was in 93. So why not, So that was, I guess that is an important part of our team, kind of what led us to the victory the year.
That's important.
Yeah.
But so it was all about you getting on the bike at the end.
Yeah. So that was, that was kind of a consistent Sigma Chi strategy. Like, let's get to the lead lap, and whoever's, our sprinter, that's, let's deliver the bike at, with 10 laps to go, and the team has done their job. So that was definitely our strategy. And it was, simple, but it wasn't easy to get to 190 and to do that. So I think that was my message to the team, and they did their job, and I guess I had to live up to my end of the bargain.
Who were you guys competing against that year? Who were the top teams? I mean, I kind of know them, but if you watch that video from race day, you guys aren't listed as one of the top favorites.
They kept calling us the dark horse.
Dark horse, yeah. Askew did.
Right.
Who were you thinking about? Who were you guys thinking about on race day? And or were you even, did you even care about another team, or just doing your thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think we knew Delta Chi was going to be good. You guys, obviously, and Cinzano, I think those were the, mm-hmm. I guess there were some, Bill Noss, I think still was probably the strongest single guy on that track.
Bill had won ITTs by like 5 or 6.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just an animal. But I don't know. I mean, they were also, friends of the team, and he was definitely a standout. But I don't think they had the depth that we did. So I think you guys, Cinzano and Delta Chi, I think were the folks that we knew were going to be competitive that year. I don't know, guys. Were there any other folks that you had your eyes on? That I think that's pretty much it.
No, I mean, like, we thought Fiji was there too, maybe a little bit as well, right? We rode a lot with them.
Yep.
But those, like, that was it. I know Todd Hancock had graduated from Delta Chi, but I forget the gentleman's name that we rode with all the time, and he loved to tell us how he's going to beat us in the final lap.
Is that Allman?
Yeah, Jeff Allman. Yeah. Jeff Allman.
They had Brian Allagher also.
Yep.
Yep.
Now they had a crazy deep team. I mean, they were strong.
Yeah.
You guys, Allman passed away. If you had heard that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Kind of suddenly just heard it.
That's sad.
That's kind of like this totally random. There's a guy in my neighborhood. I live in Atlanta now. He just ran by with his wife. He went to IU, graduated in 94. He was a Sigma new. So it's like knew the team.
Not random.
Just ran by.
Yeah.
Small world.
I'm going to try something here. I haven't done on one of these. I'm going to play a YouTube video you guys can watch, and we'll talk about it. Okay. So let me see if I can pull this off. And if I butcher it, I'll edit it out.
Cool. So
just be patient with me here.
You're getting real high tech on us, Jim.
I know. Trust me. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the warm-up lap, Randy. You and Joel Kelly chat. You say something to him on the warm-up lap, and I was curious, what you were talking about, what your thoughts are going in to the green flag. You guys qualified fifth.
Yep.
Were you happy?
I know exactly what we were talking about.
Okay. Were you happy with qualifying fifth? Were you good? Did you care about qualifying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we put a lot of focus on quals. I think that year I did 2 laps. So that was kind of I don't know why, but that was the decision. So, I remember freaking the second lap, how painful that was. But so I think, I think qualifying was important. And I think having a good starting position was always, some folks put more focus on that than others. And I think that was an important part of our program.
I thought like one of the biggest things was pit selection, right? It's not necessarily like where you start in the race, but the pit that you get to select, which is really, really strategic and important to the race.
And jersey color, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, you guys are white jersey. They now assign that jersey based on an accumulation of points during the spring series, like ITT's Team Pursuit missing out. The team with the best overall
best team score
gets the white jersey now.
I can't
remember when that started. Because for some reason we never did series events. I don't know. Okay, let's watch this and tell us what you guys are talking about
out there in this year's race. Cool. In the ninth row, Sigma Pi, Beta Pi, and Beta Chi.
So you're back into the tenth row, white.
And Delta Tau Delta, and at 111.
And you get right there. Kappa Sigma. You're chatting with Joel.
Beta Tau.
It's like, what?
Flaps here on the first view. Let's take a look at the rules and regulations for today's race.
Right, what's going on there?
So I couldn't see it, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It was like crazy windy that day, and the tailwind was, I guess I was concerned that we were going to be flying into that first the turn three. And I was just like, dude, please be careful in the first lap, because it was bumpy already before the race even started, and I'd envision kind of mayhem after the,
you're thinking the first, the first one into turn three at fast might slide out and everyone else goes down behind him. Okay.
Totally. Yeah.
Did he hear you? I don't think he did.
No.
But you were aware of it. Like not too many other guys might have been aware of that.
Yeah. When they come back in.
This is around lap 45. We're talking about the weather, how windy it is. How
these teams right now by the lead, basically in the same race as Kevin those teams drop back simply because
the Cinzano team was tough.
They were.
They called them the strongest team out there. The weather was like 30-mile-an-hour winds, a little chilly. Did that play into you guys' strategy at all? Because there were a bunch of teams, including the Cutters, that attacked that day. Cinzano tried an attack. Cutters had like a 40-lap attack. Delta Chi tried to get off the front. A bunch of teams tried to go off the front. It never went anywhere. What were you guys thinking during those efforts?
I guess, the weather thing, that's kind of like we've talked about that. I remember it being windy, but I don't remember thinking like, we need to change our strategy because of, it's kind of like, well, we're going to have a hell of a tailwind on the other side. Because that was kind of the way I thought about it. I think the one thing when you guys got, halfway, I guess it was around 150 and you're, about half a lap up, I do recall going over to the Delta Chi pit and saying, we gotta put our heads together to reel them in. So that was definitely, that wasn't just kind of a coincidence that we did a lot of working, with those guys to try to catch up with the Cutters. That was definitely, they were our definite, enemies and, one of the lead teams that we were competing with. But I think that was probably, had we not done some racing with those guys throughout the years, that would have been wouldn't have been able to have that little planning strategy, like which was helpful.
Because you're right, we got to a half lap and we just got kind of stuck there. The pack kind of chased, the wind caught up to us, and then we came back to the pack.
I remember the weather during that stretch, like,
oh my gosh,
like, the point where we had to catch up, and it's like, okay, well, you guys gonna need to dig in, we gotta catch these guys. I just remember the backstretch, okay, rest, and then like going up the backstretch was like headwind, like trying to search for wheels to bridge that gap. But I mean, I remember right before the race talking to Tyler, like, damn, it's cold and windy today. Like, there's nothing else to make you a little bit more nervous before the race starts is like 30-mile-an-hour winds and like 38 degrees.
Mm-hmm. I got two more things to show you guys. And Tyler, we're going to talk about the crash. All right. It's pretty amazing, really.
Funny that we call a crash amazing, but.
Well, your reaction to it is something I still show the Cutter Kids to this day. This is how you
do it. That's hilarious. It was all about the green seat, I think.
Meaning you could find your bike when it was on the ground?
It was easy to find that bike, man. It was just bright green right there. Huh. It was the first thing I saw when I hit the ground.
Had you guys talked about crashes, like how to react to them? Or did you just instinctively know, get your ass up, find your bike and go?
Yeah, I don't think we'd really talked about, how to recover from a crash or anything like that. Real explicitly, we didn't practice crashing or anything like that necessarily, but I think instinctually you recognize that when you stop, you're getting behind and you want to get back and go as fast as you can. This is something we'd worked for 2 years, and I think for me, every bit of adrenaline just went into grabbing the bike and riding as fast as I possibly could, as long as I could for a couple laps to try to catch us back up and not lose any ground.
And little known fact, Tyler remembers. Go ahead,
Tyler. I don't know if Tyler remembers, but he looked over at the pits and I definitely gave him the finger the point finger to go. Yeah. As soon as he got the bike up and I saw that it wasn't a part, I knew our best chance was for him to get on with the adrenaline and go, and then we could put a strategy together in the pit. And that's when I had a conversation with Sean on what we needed to do to right what just went wrong. But I still remember Tyler's eyes looking over like in a panic of what did I just do? And it was just instinctive to say go.
Yeah.
So Tyler chases for one, maybe two laps, and then exchanges to Sean. Is that how it worked out?
I think yep. I got on the bike.
Oh, Randy got on the bike. Okay.
No, Sean got on because I told Sean what I need to do is just get within 3 or 4 bike lengths and they'll slow down. As soon as they know that they can't put us away, they'll slow down. And I do remember that between 2 and 3, after 2 or 3 laps of him busting his butt, he got within those 2 or 3 bike lengths and they did. He had broken them, so to speak, and he was able to get on. And I remember Randy, I don't think we put you on right away because you had just gotten off and you were toast. And I still remember the look on your face when Tyler went down. You saw 5 years flash before your eyes and you were not in a good place right then. But when Sean bridged, at least that's my memory, and maybe I'm missing, but that really energized you to, I think, then you knew you had to do what you had to do.
Yeah, let's watch this.
So it's just
pointed over. Bump into SAE.
There we go.
Right down.
And that's Sigma Chi. That's one of our better teams out there today. We already saw them chase and catch back up once, and they're right.
Tyler even jumped on the other side of the bike to get on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's not a sophomore level move there. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I could have been running from behind it or chasing it, having it chase me and jumped up ahead, up for it to ride underneath me. I don't know, whatever it would have taken at the moment, I think I would have done whatever to get on that bike and start riding. And just so glad that it didn't break somehow, that the chain hadn't fallen off or whatever. I was really pretty lucky, I guess, that the bike was intact.
Well, you need some luck in a race like this. I think it was Dave that was talking about, you can have all the strategy you want, but race day is different. Like, things get thrown at you. Yeah.
That's for sure.
That crash happened around lap 113 or so. You guys catch back up. Then you ride pretty close to the front most of the race. You don't sit back too far. Did you guys talk about where you wanted to ride into pack to eliminate those kind of things?
No question. That was probably the only other, hard and fast rule was, never be outside of the top 5. I'd say that was pretty much, you don't want to be, you know, in front the whole time, but, you know, if you can be the second wheel, I think that was kind of the prime, you know, where we always aim to be. And if you weren't, then get back to that point. And if you got to pull for a little couple of laps to get back into number two position, that was our MO.
You guys were not afraid to pull. You did your share of the work, that's for sure. Yeah. So Randy, when did you want to get on the bike? What was the ideal lap count for you?
I think 190 was kind of the number that we were planning for in that neighborhood. I think that's pretty much exactly where it ended up.
Do you know how you came up with that number? Was it past race experience?
I think that was another Sigma Chi that was always like, if we're there, 10 laps was kind of, I know that's kind of come down quite a bit, like in the last, couple decades, but that was always, and I thought it was good. Like I thought it was a good plan to get out there, get comfortable, get adjusted. I think, three or four laps just is a little bit that's too little to be ready for a sprint from my perspective. So I think that was the plan, and it worked out well in 94.
Tyler talked about how
I was gonna say we had the same plan in 96, but it didn't turn out as well.
Well, yeah, Fidel snuck away. Tyler talked about his freshman year, he got the pep talk, the race strategy. Like, this is what you do going into his race, that he never got a chance to do that. Like, who gave you that talk, and what was that talk like for you, Randy?
Well, Jim was, he was our coach every year, and, he kind of, definitely was he was the guy that talked strategy. And, I think, Jim, that's the reason he's on this call. He is a part of our team, and, was kind of, critical in that capacity. So, and I think, I don't know, we were a bunch of gung-ho college kids. Jim was kind of the voice of reason and logic, and kind of, brought a lot of, I don't know, that part of what we really needed to be a solid team. So Jim was our strategy, planning, and execution part of the
squad.
Yeah,
it's an interesting fact that Jim went on all the spring breaks with us and rode with us as well.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of respect for Jim, not only just as a coach, but as a writer, and got to know him really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Jim,
I appreciate that. but that race especially, Randy had more knowledge than I did at that point. He'd been there for 5 years. The strategy that, I don't know if it's the cutter strategy or the Fiji strategy, but, a pretty common strategy was to be wheel number two and then make your move, preferably in between three and four, when hopefully wheel number one starts to drift a little wide and give you a window of opportunity. But and Randy and I had talked about that, but I think he saw track conditions and he modified that and modified it based on his racing experience. He thought that if he led most of the final lap and he knew that he was going to hug turn four, he was not going to let anybody drift or get in underneath him. And so that, that was his modification, because he knew his ability and what he had to do to protect that inside lane. So it worked to a T.
Yeah. Did you have any final words for him, Jim, as right before Randy got on the bike, that you recall?
I don't recall, but if I said anything, especially after being together for 5 years, it was you know what you have to do. You've been working your butt off to do it, mm-hmm. and just go make it happen.
Dave, Sean,
all right.
Dave, Sean, Tyler, what are you guys thinking as Randy gets on 10 to go and your guys' job is pretty much done?
My personal thought was like, the plan came together. Like, this couldn't be better to have Randy on the bike with 10 laps to go. Like, we've been planning this for 2 years and it actually happened. And given like the circumstances of the race and the weather, and I think we're holding hands on our trainers, thinking like, let's go.
Who gave Randy the bike? Who brought the bike in on the last exchange?
I did.
You guys did. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you give him a gap?
Oh, I gave it all I had. I think he could have taken it 10 seconds to get on that puppy. it was huge. I gave it. I mean, I visualized that multiple times. You know, if I was giving the bike up, where to do it, how to do it. And I left it all out there for him. So, yeah, it was good. I feel good after I got off that bike. So, I was excited. I mean, you know, when everything, like Sean just said, and ditto everything he just said, it comes together, right? And the guy that we have been training.
Mm-hmm. I love you, brother.
I know.
That was amazing. For me, like, there was never, when Randy got the bike, it was almost like an inevitability to me. Like, I thought we'd won the race with 10 laps to go. I had that much confidence in our team and in Randy. I mean, I'd sprinted against him every day for 3 months before the race, and he'd almost always beat me. Every once in a while, I'd get close, but, you know, it was just a feeling of real, like, destiny almost. Like, this is going to happen. There's no way this is not going to happen. I think just the will of saying, like, as every time he went by, I was just screaming at him, just like, go, go, you're going to get it. And it was just so much excitement. Like, I've never had an out-of-body experience athletically. That was it. Definitely. Just feeling like just out of the body. Like, I know we're going to win this. This is inevitable. Randy's going to do it. That was my feeling for sure.
Can we watch the last two laps, Randy? You can tell if it plays out. You can tell us kind of what's where you want the bike to be, what you're thinking, who's challenging you. Let's see, 26:39.
You guys see it?
I can't see, but I could hear the audio from what you were playing earlier, Jim.
Can't see that.
I can't. No.
Well,
this is spinning.
That sucks. Okay, let me try one more time. Get what you pay for here. One man show. Does anything come up there?
Yep.
Let me know if this plays.
There's
two laps to go, less than two laps to go.
Right now, we look at them. Of these four teams, they're the first one in the pack. Sigma Chi right there, shadowed by a Delta Chi. Which one is
we got SAE at the front? They're lap down.
We have Bill Nass right in front of you.
Give them the best chance to win Sigma Chi. It looks like they're set to beat this one out. Everyone else.
You look over at SAE, they pull off. Was that Bill Nass?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was another, you know, we talked to those, you know, they were, you know, friends of the team, and, you know, like, what can we do to help? So that was, you know, he totally, you know, he's like, I'll pull you, whatever you want me to do. And I think I told him, dude, you're good at that moment. Cause like we were literally on the last lap, but yeah, that was another super cool thing to do. Those guys certainly didn't need to volunteer to do us any favors. And I think that was one of the benefits of being, friends with some other teams. But
you're coming out of turn four. You're about to see the white flag.
Yep.
Lead lap. How are your legs feeling? How's your body feeling? Do you even know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, adrenaline was like crazy. I knew it was like game time. And I guess, you know, my thought at that moment was control the tempo. And that was my biggest, you know, that's why I wanted to lead it out. And I figured the slower I could take it into the last lap and then just kind of turn on the afterburners coming out of turn four. I think that's exactly what I envisioned. And I think I had a little bit of gas left at the end. So I think it's just keeping control of the race was exactly what I had in my mind at that moment.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, it looks like you're not full gas there going into turn one. So you're
definitely not. No.
Maintaining position in the front.
Yep.
And you got maybe Cinzano coming on the outside here. Looking down the backstretch, Cinzano is starting to challenge you on the backstretch. Are you just thinking, I want to be the first rider into turn three?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a perfect spot because Allman had nowhere to go behind us. So just kind of, you know, maintain position. And I think I'd stop pedaling coming into turn three just because, you know, it's another kind of blocking tactic, I guess, almost.
And the track was rough in that turn, so you can't really dance very well.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, by soft pedaling there, you kind of stack everybody up behind you, and they don't have any more momentum on you.
Yep.
All right, before you get to the finish line, you're in the front. What are your thoughts there? Just get to the line as fast as possible? Or
Yeah, it was 100%. Like, just pour everything you've got in your body. You know, don't leave it on the track. And I just remember it like humming. Like, that was like, I had this sound in my head. It was like, it was the strangest sensation, but... yeah, it was like, okay, we got this.
Look at that. Allman behind is disappointed.
Yep.
Everyone, you gapped everybody.
That was awesome.
What's it feel like to review that, all you guys?
I've got butterflies right now.
Yeah.
30 years later. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And Randy, you got to do a whole lap before you get back to your teammates.
Yeah.
The pit's going nuts. Everyone around you is disappointed because they lost. You guys are just full of it.
Yeah. You know, but I think what was pretty cool, Chris Nguyen, he was sprinting for you guys. He gave me a high five on the lap around. Yeah. And, you know, it was a dream come true for all of us. Like, it was like my, obviously there's crazy things that happen in life. You know, my getting married and having kids are probably still, you know, the highlight of my life personally, but that's, man, that's that feeling was incredible. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It is a special event. Because it captures a time in our lives where we have to work with people. We have to learn about ourselves. It's not easy. There's no guarantees. And every now and then you get rewarded with a victory in life. And those are pretty special.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, even though we were part of fraternity, like, we were definitely a small family within the fraternity. Okay. Nobody really, like, I think... anybody who rides Little Five is very appreciative of like the efforts that it takes all year long to make it happen. And there's just a few people who really know, like, you don't know unless you've actually ridden the race and like prepared all those times. So like, it definitely, it's a really like difficult thing to do in college, but also like a unique experience that only a few people get the opportunity to have for sure.
Yeah. I've used that video, you know, and I'm in the software business, and it's universally, you know, what we did. I mean, it was remarkable. I mean, we won Level Five. Sigma Chi had only done it once. You know, we had everybody and their mother saying, this is something that, you know, it's impossible. You guys are never going to be able to do this. And yeah, that's so universally applicable in life. Like, for you're gonna have situations where, you know, it's, you can't do it, and you know, if you've done this, done something that is people tell you is impossible, then the sky's the limit on what you can what you can do anywhere, you know. So it's definitely been a useful tool that I've, you know, leveraged for well beyond our college years. Mm-hmm.
Some of you guys didn't graduate with that as your peak moment. you came back to keep Sigma Chi going. But next year you got to wear the yellow jersey. You got to continue fighting for it. But that one special day was certainly a big memory.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What could you, I mean, it's impossible to imagine college without that experience, right? But can you guys summarize kind of what it meant for you to go through that?
My personally is like, you know, I think it was, you know, you wake up the next day and nothing's really changed other than like you won this amazing race. I think it almost becomes more valuable over time, to tell you the truth, because like I don't know, I still write a lot, and you know, like if I'm writing with somebody young, and I'm like, I'll say, hey, yeah, I wrote all years, and like, yeah, how'd you guys do? And I'm like, oh, we won 1 year, and like that obviously like garners some type of respect within a small community, you know, of cyclists and whatnot, and like gets conversations going. But overall, to me, it's like it'll always be something that will be treasured, and like, yeah, like you always have that memory and all the work behind it. It's super special to me personally.
Definitely great relationships, you know, like the friendships. I don't know if I've ever been quite as close to some guys, you know, as I got to be with Sean and Randy and Dave, Jim. You know, it's just that part of it that just kind of feels like a lifelong bond, you know, no matter what happens, you always have this kind of seminal moment to share. It's definitely a top five for me personally, you know, and the connection for me in the community and knowing, you know, this is such a big event, local history, you know, it's given me cred for almost my whole life, you know, like, you know, because people remember me as a little five guy, a little five champion, and there's more to life, you know, and I think part of it is kind of putting it in perspective. You know, it is an event, it's a sporting event, and, you know, for a first world nation, you know, I suppose, like, that's great, but, you know, in the bigger picture of life, it's, well, so what? But being able to use what Randy said, I think, as, you know, here's the trials and tribulations, here's the things you go through, here's the work you put in to get an outcome, you know, I don't know, really amazing that, you know, got a chance to have that outcome where it just doesn't always work out that way, you know, and so it was really cool to have that moment, you know, of victory, you know, that I guess I'll never forget, and will carry with me forever. I still will wear the yellow jersey when I go to Little Five, just for fun. Not every year, but when I feel like
a little more snug than it was a few years
ago. It's back. A little snugger. It is a little more snug, especially when I wear it with the green one underneath. You know, it's just kind of fun to represent. Hey, everyone, I got this yellow jersey for a reason. Didn't get it at Goodwill or anything, I promise.
Yeah. What about you, Dave? You were around Bloomington for a little bit after
those years. Yeah, definitely. To Sean's point, I think it doesn't, when you win it that year, yeah, you accomplish something, but then you go through life, right? And you go back at how many times, I mean, how many things can you correlate or pull from the things that we accomplished, right? How hard we worked, how close we got. You know, there was a lot of moments that they talked about, you know, the strength of our team, right? I feel like we had a fantastic team. We were a team, right? We, Randy by far the best sprinter we had. Best cyclists we had in our team by miles. But the reality is we were probably one of the best teams on that track that day as a team, right? Given the things that happened, obviously we were blessed with victory. But going back to life, I always go back to the team, right? working as a team. You got to contribute. You got to put your part in. So it teaches you a lot about life, right? Giving a bite to Randy at the end, bike transitions. It's the same as life, right? When you're working with somebody and you're passing something on, you want to make sure you do it right. You do it. So there's a lot that you can correlate and pull from what we accomplish and how hard we work to real life. So no, it's been awesome, right? And to Sean's point, it's nice when you actually say, yeah, I won it 1 year, when somebody says, because the people that know Little Five, they know how hard it is, right? And I alluded to it earlier, is there's people that want to participate and there's people that want to win. There's people that want to compete, and we wanted to compete. So, you know, and there's a lot of cyclists out there that, yeah, did Little Five, but, you know, I did Little Five. So.
Yeah, it's a different experience for a lot of people.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you guys give an upcoming Sigma Chi team that reached out to you and maybe they're trying to get the program started again? Like, and they reached out to you guys, or they even see or hear this and they're like, we want to start competing. Like, what would you guys tell them?
Man, that's a tough one. I don't know. Just knowing how hard, you know, we've all stayed engaged with the team, you know, kind of same deal, you know, it ebbs and flows, but you know, some of the years it's like, oh my gosh, what, like we've got four guys, only one of them has a bike right now. And it's kind of like, yeah, like what the hell happened here?
I always, my freshman daughter, actually my sophomore daughter is going to ride this year. And like, I always tell her, like, one of the biggest things is like Randy said from the start, is like, get to know your competition and then ride with the competition. Like, you'll only know like how close you are to like being competitive, mm-hmm. if you're riding with them in the off season. Like, just riding in the basement is not good enough. Yeah. Like, going outside and riding with your competition and like and getting race practice is so important. And I know the focus now, and I think it's changed since we went there, is like they put a ton of time on the track versus what we did. And I think that's probably good. But I also think, like, if you have the opportunity to ride in IUCC and some of the racing scene outside of Little Five, it gives you so much experience to race and be competitive with the folks that and build friendships that you'll need during the race.
Yeah,
I think for me, it's have a plan, have a North Star. You know, what's your strategy? And, you know, if you believe in yourself and your teammates that you're going to get there, I mean, that belief to me is also just a huge part of it. You know, when you're inspired to do something and just as likely as anyone else to win it, because it's a flat track with everybody on the same bike, you know, if you believe in yourselves and, you know, you come together as a team and you trust each other. I mean, that's, for me, was just such a huge part of it. You know, like you said, we meant to compete, but we also had belief that there was nobody who was going to be able to get to the finish line before us if we did what we needed to do. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that come through on some other teams that I help coach. And, you know, it's just like that belief can go so far, you know, in separating, you know, one bike from another in the moment when it matters most. And when you fall down or when you're in the last lap with a chance to win, I think it's that belief that can really separate. You know, you're on a mission, you know, you're there, what you're there for, and you're not going to let anything stop you, you know, whatever it might be.
Today, they call that law of attraction, right? That didn't exist. Oh, okay. That didn't exist when we rode, but yeah, the more you think about something, believe in something, feel something, like, you start to pull it to you.
Right? Yeah.
I have this little saying that the race chooses its winners, right? And in 1994, the race chose you guys on top of all your effort and everything, but the circumstances came to you. And when, what a great group of guys, deserving winners of that race on that day. You weren't dark horses. You were the best team out there in 1994. And how everybody missed that, I don't know. But you guys showed up as a group, and you fulfilled your kind of Little Five destiny, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah. In closing, anything else you guys want to add, or any unique stories or special memories that you'd like to share to people that would watch this and people that love Little 500?
One of my favorite memories was on spring break, and we went out on this, we got in Florida, and there was like this like pro level like ride. And we get, I think it was probably like a 40 or 60 mile ride, and whatever.
Ocala or something?
Ocala. We get back, everybody gets back, and we're like, where's Tyler? I don't know. We literally waited there for like an hour for Tyler to get there. Like, this is before cell phones. And so then we're just like, well, let's just pray that he figures out how to like contact us. And we like left Tyler. We get a phone call like what? Like 2 hours later. And he's, I think, Tyler, were you at like the police station and you were able to remember, get the phone call of Randy's grandmother?
And we I don't even know if I knew his the grandparents' phone number. Somehow the police were able to make contact, though. I missed a turn. I don't know how. I missed a turn. I ended up like 200 miles away from where I was supposed to be. about Brookville. I was in Brookville, or should have been somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
John, you're right. Trophies are nice, but those memories, those stories, those bonds you guys have, far exceed, you know, the trophy, really.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's the glue that keeps you guys together forever.
Yeah, like you said, I think that was the other kind of like, I may have forgot, but like we rode together like almost every day, like whenever we could. And like,
remember we did super circuit after rides too. We'd go to do that like 30-minute thing at the Hyper.
Yeah. I think if there's any advice I could give teams is like ride together as much as possible, to build those bondships of trust once you get into the race. It makes it special. It makes it special now. Like, you know, see all these guys, we're older now, but like you would do anything for those guys, even today.
Yep.
Hey, any chance you guys will make it back this year? 2023 race?
Well, next year is the 30-year anniversary, so I think we'll definitely need to do that one. But it's kind of, Jim, I know you probably know Josh Herbst. So he's the son of Steve Herbst, who was one of my teammates for, I guess, 3 of the 4 years I rode. I know those guys are contenders this year, I think. Two of his teammates are go to my kid's high school here in Atlanta. So I don't know. Unfortunately, I might not be cheering for the Sigma Chi squad if we make it back this year, but we've got some heritage and some other outfits that I think will be giving the Cutters a run for their money.
They will, for sure. They're a great team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I live here, so anytime anybody wants to get together to go to Little Five or Kilroy's or Yogi's or whatever, just let me know.
I'll be there, Tyler. Let's get the band together, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be there watching my daughter race this year.
Yeah.
For the first time ever. So, I can't wait.
Who's she riding for, Sean?
Theta.
Theta, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
A perennial team. Very tough.
Yes, very tough.
Well, Jim was actually kind of cool. We talked about Bill Noss and what an animal he was, and seeing his son out there, which is the product of two Little Five, racers, and it's so weird, like seeing the next generation of people, that our counterparts' kids are on the track now, which is freaking so cool.
Crazy.
So it's
crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for your time on this day. Great seeing you. Great to get to know you guys better. If you do come to Bloomington, let me know. I would love to meet you guys more.
Let's grab a beer after the race.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for doing these series too. This has been a lot of fun for all of us to kind of relive everybody's like version of success as Little Five. It's really cool.
Yeah. Thank you. It's fun. All right. Well, you guys have a great day, and we'll catch up in the future in Bloomington.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank
you, everyone.
You boys.
You guys. Talk soon.
All right, bye.
Thank you very much, fellas. That was a great interview. It meant a lot to me to hear you guys, see you guys, and to kind of recap that race, my last Little Five race, 1994. Thank you. Thank you so much.